Welcome to Wednesday night at Faith Assembly, featuring the ministry of Senior Pastor Phil Goss. We're glad you've joined us.
It has those, as you know, Wednesday nights we do a Bible study. We're going through the book of James, and we're in James chapter 4. And we're going to talk about a great subject tonight. We're going to talk about how to avoid arguments. Okay, you just want to leave now or what? One thing you hear from people, well, we just can't get along. You know, we care for each other, but we always argue. And, you know, my kids are a constant tension. And me and my boss, we're just constantly going at it. The person I work with, it just seems like we can never go along. And in this passage we're going to look at tonight, James tells us how to avoid arguments. Now, he tells us the cure for them, he tells us the cost of them, and he tells us the reason for them, the remedy for it, and he just doesn't beat around the bush. He's pretty blunt, as you've noticed as we've gone through James. He pretty much cuts to the core of things, doesn't he? And so he doesn't waste any time, and you know, long before psychology came along and had some insights and stuff, James already has it nailed. So that's where we're going to begin. First of all, the cause of arguments. The cause of arguments. Now again, there's a text number up there. If you got a question, you can text me and we'll try to answer it. What's the cause of arguments? Evil desires. Evil desires. Chapter 4, verse 1. What is causing the quarrels and fights among you? Now that's a great question, isn't it? What's causing all the thing? Don't they come from the evil desires at war within you? Well, no, they don't. They come from the other person, right? It's the other person's problem. It's not me. It's them. Well, that's not what he says, is it? You want what you don't have, so you scheme and kill to get it. You're jealous of what others have, but you can't get it, so you fight and wage war, take it away from them, yet you don't have what you want because you don't ask God for it. And even when you ask, you don't get it because your motives are all wrong. You only want what will give you pleasure. Ouch. You see, when my wants conflict with your wants, sparks fly. When my way doesn't line up with your way, we end up on the highway. And usually that's not good, is it? And so conflict starts early on in life, from the very beginning. A little baby, if they're not instantly getting what they want, they let you know. You can argue with them all they want, they're just going to go that way. Marriage has built-in conditions for conflicts. The things you thought this person was going to do, the things you thought they were going to be, it doesn't line up with your way, does it? In the workforce, things don't go the way you want them to all the time, do they? People. Ugh. And so all of life is about, you know, the dealing with the conflicts that are there. And the Bible makes it very clear in this place and in other places, there's basic three basic desires, three points we're going to look at that cause conflicts in our lives. Now, please hear me. All of these are legitimate. The problem gets to be when they get out of control. So that's what we have to understand. They're God-given, but when you put these issues above people, they're out of control. That's how you know they're out of control. All right? So, number one, the desire to have or possessions. Possessions. Verse 2 we read, he said, you want what you don't have. You're jealous of what others have. It's called materialism. We want to have things. Now, God created things for us to have and enjoy. That's what they're there for. So, here's how life works. We use things and love people. But when you get that twisted around and you use people and love things, now you have conflict, don't you? When people stand in the way of what you want and what you want to have, it creates a problem. And we start using people, manipulating them, controlling them, moving them around to get what we want because it's important to us and it's more important to have that than it is to have a relationship with people. And materialism is constantly before us in the day and time in which we live. And so the desire to have something becomes a source of conflict in your life. And we get it. The thrill wears off. It doesn't satisfy us, so we just want more. And the desire to have isn't all bad. It's when people get in the way of that and we begin to get at odds with them. And so you can't compare yourself with other people. You don't get to have what they have. It's not the comparison game. It's not you trying to keep up with them. There's always something more. It'll leave you empty. And so one of the problems with, you know, conflict, you know, in a marriage, I want a new couch. Well, I don't. Well, too bad. You're not getting it. Yes, I am. Who are you to tell me I can't have that? Well, I want it. Well, you don't need it. Besides, it's ugly. The desire to have possession creates a conflict. I want this. And if you stand in my way, we're going to go at it. Secondly, the desire to feel or pleasure. Verse 3, notice what he says. You want only what will give you pleasure. I want what I want. I want to feel good. I want to be comfortable. I want to have my senses satisfied. I want to enjoy life. I want what I want. Now, God gives you things to enjoy. 1 Timothy 6:17. Teach those who are rich in this world not to be proud and not to trust in their money, which is so unreliable. Their trust should be in the God who richly gives us all we need for our enjoyment. So God gives us what we have need of. But when pleasure becomes the goal in your life, it can create conflict. Well, I just need some me time. I just got to take care of this. Well, I want to go here. I want to spend the weekend at Disney World. We can't afford it. I don't care. I want to go anyway. I want to go to this. Well, yes, you shouldn't. I don't care. I want it. And when we think somebody's standing in the way of us having a good time, that creates a problem, doesn't it? I'm more interested in my comfort than I am in yours. And I want what makes me feel good. And this creates problems. And so this whole thing of needing pleasure, of wanting to feel good, not, you know, don't deal too hard with me. I don't want to have to deal with the difficult things in life. I don't want to deal with the hardships. I don't want life to be negative. That's a bummer. And let's just all feel good all the time. Life isn't like that, is it? But when we think someone's taking it from us, you know, you're not making me happy anymore. What are you saying? I want the pleasure and you're not giving it to me. I don't like it. Right? Creates a problem, doesn't it? So this whole thing of what I want, you know, I want my things, I want possessions, I want to have, don't get in my way of it, I want pleasure. If you're bringing my life down and you're not making me happy, then you and I are going to go at it because I have a right to happiness. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. It's all remain on. And so it just, that desire to feel, that creates conflicts in our lives, doesn't it? I better stop here. No question? Oh, great. Good deal. Thirdly, the desire to be. Pride and power. Pride and power. Notice what he says there in verses 2 and 3. These two things, they kind of work together. Pride is all about power, and power is all about pride. Pride says, basically, selfish. I'm important. I deserve. I'm more important than you are. I am the one who deserves this, and I am going to have the power to get what I want to get. Verses 2 and 3. You want what you don't have, so you scheme and kill to get it. You're jealous of what others have, but you can't get it, so you fight and wage war to take it away from them. You don't have what you want because you don't ask God for it. Even when you ask, you don't get it because your motives are all wrong. You want only what will give you pleasure. You know, I'll just power up and get my way. You're going to stand in my way, I'll power up and run over you. Or you're going to get in my way, I'll power up and I'll go silent and I'll sulk. And I'll just withdraw and I'll show you who's in control. I'll show you who's boss. and you play the hurt card. I'm controlling. See, it's all about control, isn't it? Now, I've told you over and over again, we are all control freaks. We want to control things. We want to control other people. And any time you start getting in a conflict is about who's in control, isn't it? Who's got more power? Who's going to control this relationship? Who's going to be in charge? Who's going to set the boundaries? Who's going to say this is the way it has to be? I am, of course. Right? And when someone else threatens you to say, you're not in control, I don't have to listen to you, I don't have to do what you want me to do, it creates a problem, doesn't it? And you have an argument. I want to be number one. Me first. We have a whole generation we call the me generation. You know, I want to strive for success. Watch me. I'm important. Little kids say, watch me, watch me. But we say it in different ways. Watch the way I dress. Watch what I drive. Watch where I live. Watch where I work. Watch me. I'm important, you know. You better take notice of that. And other people do what I tell them to do, and you better do it too. And I'm number one. And so it's all about me. Now, I know none of you struggle with this. I know I'm just preaching to the choir here, and everybody's got this all in control, don't you? Proverbs 13:10. Pride leads to conflict. Those who take advice are wise. Why does that happen? Because I'm too proud to compromise. I want my way. If I say it's this way, that's the way it is. I'm not going to give in. Have you ever been in an argument where as you got into it, you knew you were wrong, but you weren't going to admit it, and you kept going? You ever been there? Don't raise your hand. I don't need to know. Well, why didn't you give in? Pride. Power. If I give in, I'm going to be weak. I'm not going to be weak one here. I'm going to be the strong one here. We all know the term power up. And so we get into these problems and have these arguments because really what it's about is who's in control? I want my way. I want this possession. I want this pleasure. I want to have this thing. And if you're going to stop me from getting this, if you're not going to let me have what I want, and if you're not going to do what I say, and if things aren't going to be the way I think they should be, then we're going to have a problem because I'm going to fight for what I want. That's the basis of all arguments. How about now?
Yeah, here we go.
Okay.
My husband and I argue over the lack of chores he assists with. Is it really an evil desire to request him to help? This has been a 6-year argument.
Okay. Stay with me as we go through this, and I hope you'll have an answer by the time we're done, but here's the deal. Is it, how'd she word it?
Is it really an evil desire to request him to help?
It is as if it's creating conflict with you. How's that for an answer? Not the answer we want, right? Is it okay, I'd like for you to do this? Well, if you're not going to do it, now we're going to have an argument. Because I want you to do this, right?
Go ahead. That's all for now.
Boy. Let me kind of sum this up here and put it in a little package, tie a little bow on it for you. These desires, all of these things we've just talked about, come from two areas, according to James, of what he's told us. The first one is, it's the wrong source. In other words, I don't ask God. So that means what? God's not directing me, is he? I'm directing me. I'm using me as the source and not him. So I'm going to the wrong place to get the answers I want. Secondly, selfish motives. I want my way. You see, here, what's the underlying theme? I think we've said it here. The underlying theme is, I want what I want more than I want a relationship with you. That's why on Sundays we're doing this relationship thing. Relationships determine your happiness in life. If you can't get along with people, you're not going to be very happy. And so conflict creates unhappiness, doesn't it? But you know what? I'd rather be unhappy and right than give in to that sucker. How about now? No? Still good? Okay. All right. What?
You got? Yeah, well, okay. It looks like a follow-up question.
Okay.
I think back to the original one, although okay. It's a different person. So how is that possible? Is it really selfish to want help around the house?
No. What I said is no. It's not, but when you cross... Remember I said at the beginning, all of these deals that are there, there's nothing wrong with it. Nothing wrong with having possessions. There's nothing wrong with having pleasure. There's nothing wrong with having a good self-esteem. Nothing wrong with that until it begins to affect my relationships. And when it affects my relationships, now I've crossed the line from it being okay to being wrong. Because now I put those things ahead of the relationship. And relationships trump everything else.
Yeah. Which probably leads us to our next question. How do you balance the purpose God called you to and a marriage?
Well, God called you to a marriage. God called you to get along with that person. Bible gives you several directives of how you live with one another. And you know what the summation of those are? You know, I can sum that up in one word. You serve. That's what the summation of marriage in Scripture is all about. You learn to serve. And a servant doesn't argue. Let me go on. Okay? Next, the conflict in arguments. It's spiritual. It's spiritual. Okay? The conflict. Spiritual. Verses 4 and 5. You adulterers. Now, adulterers, remember, God calls us, when we're not serving Him, He calls that adultery, doesn't He? He says, if we've gone after other things other than Him, we've committed spiritual adultery. So adultery in the Bible doesn't always mean a relationship physical. It sometimes means a relationship spiritual. Don't you realize that friendship with the world makes you an enemy of God? I say it again. If you want to be a friend of the world, you make yourself an enemy of God. Do you think the Scriptures have no meaning? They say that God is passionate for the spirit He has placed within us should be faithful to Him. You see, these evil desires, these evil things that cross the line, they not only cause conflict with other people, they cause conflict with God. Because when you're fighting with someone else, how's your relationship with God doing? Probably not very well. It's probably suffering, isn't it? And so the world pushes possessions. The world pushes pleasure. The world pushes pride, power. To the world, that's the all-important thing. But God doesn't push those things. In fact, He declares war on them. He says they're God-given, keep them within the right boundaries. But if once they get out of control and into the wrong area, then they will create problems for you. It's the principle of the whole thing that we battle with. God creates something good, tells us to have it, tells us it's ours, tells us it'll work for us, tells us how to do it, tells us how to live with it, to act with it, and Satan comes in and takes it and twists it and tries to get it out of bounds over here. And he makes it work against us. And so God has a unique way of engineering circumstances to pop your pride. And just about the time you think, well, I've got it together, He puts you in your place. And you're on a collision course, and there's no way you're going to win. So James says here, look, when you have these conflicts, you have to understand something. It's not a conflict between you and another person. There's something else going on that's as important, if not more important. It's a spiritual conflict that you're involved in. Because you see, God says, look, the way you handle your relationships with others is the way you handle your relationship with me. So if I'm in conflict with others, that means I'm in conflict with God. Correct? Okay.
Yep. Clarification on the last question about balancing ministry and marriage. Put a little more succinctly, ministry with marriage, balancing the two.
Yes.
In other words, what I do for God, where I feel like God's called me to minister, and my marriage. How do I balance between the two of those? And I didn't ask the question.
Well, I'm going to say this in a way that most of you aren't going to like it. But if you want to minister for God, you better take care of your marriage. Because if you don't have that together, how in the world are you going to minister? If you can't get along with people, how are you going to do that? Now, that doesn't mean the things for God aren't important. But if God has really called you to do something, he'll work out a way for you to do it. And so you got to put a balance in there so that you're not choosing either or, you're choosing both, but understand the priority and what God expects. All right. Here's where we're going to get to, and it might be answer some of these questions. The cure for arguments. The cure. What is it? Humility. Humility is a great word. It's a strong biblical word. It's used often in Scripture. And in this place, James just puts it in such a great place. Verse 6, he gives grace generously. Now, what's grace? Grace is God's power to change. You see, what would you want to change about yourself? Whatever you need to change, you need grace to do it. God's power, God's strength. You know, what do you want to change about your relationships with other people? Whatever it is you want to change, you need grace because you can't do it on your own. You need God's help, and God's help comes in the form of his grace because grace is the power to change, and there's only one way you get grace. Humble yourself. God gives grace generously. As the scriptures say, God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. So humble yourselves before God. Resist the devil. He'll flee from you. Come close to God. God will come close to you. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, for your loyalty is divided between God and the world. What's the world? Possessions, pleasure, power, pride, wanting my stuff. Let there be tears for what you've done. Let there be sorrow and deep grief. Let there be sadness instead of laughter, gloom instead of joy. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up in honor. Wow. So James gives a few short sentences here, four specific actions that you can take to stop fighting and to get God's grace. In essence, these four things are a way you humble yourself, okay? Because if I humble myself, God says he's going to give me the power to do what needs to be done, and he'll honor me, right? Some of you have already checked out on me. You don't like what I'm saying, you know, okay? That's right, by the way. So first of all, give in to God. Give in to God. God opposes the proud. He gives grace to the humble. So humble yourselves before God. Let God be God, or we have a term, let him be the Lord of your life. Give him control. Put him in charge. You know, quit trying to run your life. Your evil desires, it says, at war within you. James says the conflict happens with other people because you have a conflict going on inside of you. And you don't get along with others because you've got a civil war going on in you. And when you're not getting along with you, you don't get along with other people. And so I have to understand the real issue has to be where I begin in all my relationships. If I want my relationships to be healed, if I want them to be positive, it begins with my relationship with God. That's why Sunday, when we talked about relationships, I started with love, because that's what he gives to us. That's how he says everything starts with. I can find peace of mind. I can find peace of heart. You know, I can get in control of things because if I'm in charge and something doesn't go my way, I'm going to be at war with somebody, aren't I? But if God's in charge and I don't get my way, God will take care of it. Right? It's a principle of how we live. If it doesn't get my way, I get uptight, I get irritable, I get upset. You know, well, it should be like this, it makes me mad. But if God's in charge, it doesn't have to irritate you. You see, many times when anger comes about, it's a sign that God's not in charge. You are. Colossians 3:15. Let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. When I have peace with God, I can have peace with other people. You know, I don't have to manipulate. I don't have to control. You know, in relationships, there's always a power struggle because I want to have, I want to feel, I want to be the person I want to be, and I want to make it work. I want my way. And here's the key. I give in to God, not the other person. Because if I give in to God, God will help me with the other person. God, only you can help this relationship. And God, I need your help. It's not, God, only you can help this relationship. God, they need your help. That's usually how we pray it, isn't it? No, I need your help. And would you do whatever you need to do in my life? Lord, I'm not going to ask you to change them. I'm going to ask you to change me. So put God in charge of your life. God, your will be done. God, your will before my will. And Lord, whatever it takes, that's what I'm willing to do. So you come to that place where you give in to God. Secondly, you get wise to Satan. I believe one of Satan's primary goals in our life to hinder us spiritually is to create conflict between people. Because if he can do that, he keeps us at war, doesn't he? Notice verse 7, what he says, "Resist the devil and he will flee from you." Now, that's a great thing. If I resist, he'll leave. Some of you don't even put up a fight. So he stays. You see, I don't resist him. God, oh, they make me so mad and the devil's there. Yeah, they do. Build on that. Keep hollering at him. Keep doing this. Keep fighting. Keep doing it. Yeah, you're doing a good job. Keep going. Yeah, I have the right for this. I deserve this. This is the way it should be. They don't care about me. They don't. Yeah, then Satan's going, yeah, go. Go, girl. You go, guy. You got it. You're not resisting. See, he's the source behind conflict. Don't be dumb about it. Resist the devil, he will flee. The word resist is a war term. It means be prepared, stand against. He wants to destroy you. He wants to destroy every relationship you got. Why? Because he loves conflict. He's the author of conflict. He wants to cause confusion and arguments and stress and hurt feelings and disappointment and anger and chaos. He just loves to do it. And that's why God said, let God be in control, because Satan is trying to be in control, and you're going to be controlled by one of the two. Don't for a moment think you're in control. One of these two is having an influence on your life. I heard this statement. If you get up in the morning and you don't run into the devil head on, it's because you're already going in the same direction. Oh, man. 2 Corinthians, Paul writes there, tells them to do something, and he says to do it because so that Satan will not outsmart us, for we are familiar with his evil schemes. Wise up, recognize his tactics, know what he's trying to do. Who's behind the conflict in your life? Satan is. Ephesians 6:12, we're not fighting against flesh and blood enemies. See, we're not fighting against people, against evil rulers, authorities, the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, against evil spirits in the heavenly places. So So he plays on our desires, the possessions, the pleasure, the power, the pride. He tells us what we want to hear. He whispers into our ear. He gives us thoughts. You know what he loves to do? He loves to play with your feelings. He loves you to get hurt. Because if you hurt my feelings, it's your fault. And you better change it. That's called power, by the way. You're trying to be in control, aren't you? I deserve better. Who do they think they are? I need to get even. I need to assert myself. They're out to hurt me. You don't need to put up with this. Show them who's boss. He tells you all the things you want to hear. And you need to say, Satan, I know that's you. Because I know that's not what God says. I know that's not how he talks to me. How do you resist the Satan? There's two ways I can give you right now, real quick. Number one, same way Jesus did. He quoted scripture. Just get out of here. Bible says. You want to have an attitude? No, that's not what Christ says. That's not what scripture says about that. That's wrong. Secondly, the Bible also tells us that we should put on the armor of God. And when we put that armor on, we stand firm. Now you see, standing firm doesn't seem right. If you put on armor, you're ready to attack, aren't you? But see, how do I resist? I stand firm. I stand dressed in that armor that has me live the way God wants me to live. And I resist Satan. So understand his tactics. Understand what's going on. And here's the great deal. You resist him, he's going to leave. Thirdly, grow closer to God. Ooh, I got to finish here. Grow closer to God. Verse 8, come close to God, and God will come close to you. Wow. Now, don't flip this. God, if you'll come close to me, then I'll come close to you. No, it doesn't work that way. You have to initiate this. You have to be the one to start this. You know, how do I get closer to God? I know the Bible. I go to church. I get involved in connect groups. I obey. I do what's right. I keep understanding that God puts a priority on relationships and that I can't run away from them and I can't ruin them. I have to bring healing to them. It's important to God. Isaiah 26:3, you will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you. Now, there's some people that only draw close to God when they're in trouble. You should do that when things are going well. You spend time with him. You don't get too busy. And if you go, well, I'm just so busy, I don't have time, then you're too busy. And you've got your priorities all mixed up. You draw closer, he'll keep you in peace. And so the more I'm closer to God, the more I'll be able to deal with people and the less conflict I will have. And the great promise is, if I resist Satan, he'll leave. If I come close to God, he'll come close to me. What a great way to live. Lastly, go ask forgiveness. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts. Your loyalties divided between God and the world. Your loyalties divided between God and what you want. Possessions, power, pride. Let there be tears for what you've done. Let there be sorrow, deep grief. Let there be sadness, gloom instead of joy. Humble yourself before the Lord. He'll lift you up and honor you. So if you want to stop the conflicts and learn to ask forgiveness from God. God, I need you to forgive me for the attitude I have towards that person. God, I need you to forgive me for the way I'm thinking about that. God, I need you to forgive me for the way I'm treating them. God, I need you to forgive me. You know, wash your hands, purify your hearts. Our hands represent our conduct. Our heart represents our attitudes. And he's just saying here, clean up your act. Be sorry for your self-centeredness. Be willing to ask God for forgiveness. That's humbling, isn't it? God, I really want to come to you about this other person and the problem we're having because we all know it's their fault. They really did this. But God, I'm not innocent here. And God, I've got some things I've got to deal with. And tell you what, before we even get to them, why don't we deal with me? I'm going to be talking somewhat about this on Sunday. You know, in relationships, and that compels the peace is remove the log. Let's deal with me. Let's get my act cleaned up. I'm not the person I should be. I said things I shouldn't have said. I've thought things I shouldn't have thought. I've been selfish in this. I wanted what I wanted. And God says, if you'll humble yourself before me, I'll lift you up. I'll help you. I'll honor you. I'll put you in a great place. So you come to that place where, God, I can't handle this. I don't know what to do. But I come to you and ask you to help me. I can't do it on my own. I need your grace. God, whatever you want me to do, I'll do. Philippians 2:3. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble. Thinking of others is better than yourselves. Don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. He humbled himself. Think of this. He went from being God to being one of us. Boy, that's a step down. So, do I want to keep arguing with somebody for 4 years? Is that any way to have a good relationship? I don't have to, do I? Okay, let's start again. Let's just... And you see, how do you avoid an argument? James just tells us. Here's what's the cause. The root is there's a spiritual problem going on in your life, and if you'll handle it right, you can diffuse a lot of situations. Because being right is not the most important thing. Getting your way isn't even close to being in the top 10. God cares about people, and he wants a relationship with them so much more that when they didn't even care about him, he died for them. And he wants us to love people like he does. And when you do that, it's hard to argue with people. So how are you doing with this? What areas do you need to adjust and change? Over the next day or two, would you let God talk to you about it so that you can put it into practice in your life? Let's pray.
Thank you for joining us for tonight's service. If you would like to talk with someone about what you've heard, please visit our website at faith.ag or call us at 239-543-2700. If you're in the Fort Myers area and don't already have a church home, you're invited to join us for Wednesday nights at 7 p.m. We also gather on Sunday mornings at 8:15 and 10:45 a.m. Faith Assembly is located at 7101 Bayshore Road. Join us again next time for Wednesday night at Faith Assembly. Faith Assembly's Wednesday night is a production of Faith Assembly Media Tech, North Fort Myers, Florida.